Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
And welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, chart manager here at Billboard.
Flashing back again this week. It's another flashback countdown, 40 to 1. This week, 1996.
Yeah, for those of you who enjoyed our previous two editions, I think we got some pretty good response on that.
Kudos to anyone who listened all the way through, because I know the last one was an hour and 39 minutes.
139. Are we going to try and break that one sweet day record this week? But yeah, so we're going to flashback, like Gary said, recap the top 40, the entire top 40 of the Hot 100 this week in 1996. We'll go 40 to 1. As you guys remember, we'll interject some of the song clips in there as well, so you guys can walk through memory lane either with us or sonically through some of the classic hits of the time. A lot of, you know, 96 is a good year, obviously, pretty nice mix of things on the chart. We're going to find out some rap up in there, some R&B, of course, plenty of pop songs, and some of the alt rock that people remember from the decade.
And number one ties into what's number one now. Spanish language song number one here in 2017. Same thing. First week back in 1996. We'll get to at the end of the countdown.
What could it be, Gary? I wonder.
And we'll talk to someone who helped make that a hit. Completely got the backstory of that. So that's coming up all the way. At number one, before we even start the countdown, Trevor, just asking what you were doing, if you remember anything about August 1996 when you were in, tell me you were in school at least by then.
This probably would have been about maybe the month I started kindergarten. Yeah.
Kindergarten, I just graduated college in May 1996.
Yo, check that. Check that out. One of us is jumping into the American public education school system, one of us finishing America's higher education promise fulfilled. No, we had half-day kindergarten, too. Didn't have to go to school till 12 o'clock. What up?
All right. Let's kick it off. Number 40 this week on the Billboard Hot 100, August 3rd, 1996.
Warning.
Right, numbers 40 through 36 on the Billboard Hot 100 this week, 21 years ago, August 3rd, 1996. Leanne Rimes, pretty notable song, kicking us off at number 40, Blue, her first big hit, written back in 1958, the year that the Hot 100 started by Bill Mack. A lot of sort of believed at this point that he wrote it for Patsy Cline because it sounds like a Patsy Cline song. He says he didn't write it for her.
Interesting. I mean, like you said, it's kind of sat around for decades before Leanne right. found it. I mean, this time she was only, what, about 14, 15 years old?
13 when she recorded it. And 13, she was about to turn 14 when the song was number 40.
That's just, I mean, that's just incredible. I think even, especially in a genre like country, which we right. figure so, you know, sort of older leaning or established or, you know, not an easy, but like teen pop or something like right. that. Crazy for her.
And to have that voice at 13.
Yeah.
Never sounded that young. Became a top 10 hit at country. Got to number 10 pretty quickly on the country chart, but a peak there kind of stopped. It was kind of a polarizing song because it was so different. So a lot of people liked it, but a lot of people got a little scared, like you were just saying. Very different for country, sometimes different, scare some programmers. So yeah. Got to number 10, but it's you know, lasted pop culture since then. First of Leanne's 12 top 10s at country, and fast forward 21 years. She's just number one just a couple weeks ago on the Dance Club Songs chart. Love is Love is Love.
Leanne making her way.
Yeah, still doing really well.
Yeah. I mean, imagine going to ninth grade as a Grammy winner, you know?
Number 39, not U2, but Adam Clayton and Larry Mullen. Theme from Mission Impossible shows how big that movie was, that an instrumental version of an old theme like that could be a top 10 hit. Got to number 7.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of one of those random things I learned. Tom Cruise was in the middle of obviously a huge run. I mean, this is his moment. 5 consecutive movies making $100 million or more at the box office,
yeah.
And Mission Impossible is one of them. Obviously, we see now, you know, it's like spawned like 4 or 5 sequels. So it's really, you know, a real gem in his wheelhouse. And like you said, I mean, the movie was such a big deal that summer that this old song from the 60s.
Number 38, more rock in the top 40, Metallica, Until It Sleeps. Their only top 10 ever on the Hot 100. So it had gotten to number 10, was down at number 38 this week. Flash forward again for them, 2016, their 6th number one album.
Gary, name one member of SWE.
S.
So, okay, keep going. Sisters with Voices, yeah.
I get that. So You're the One, a week was their number one hit in 1993, but this became a number 5 hit in 1996.
It made the Best Of CD, so...
And more rock, number 36, Smashing Pumpkins. It was its peak for Tonight Tonight. I think it's maybe their best song. I really like how it's so much of their stuff has that orchestral sound. But there's just something really, really nice about that song, Tonight Tonight. A lot of people probably think 1979, earlier in 1996, as their biggest hit. But I really always like Tonight Tonight. Number 35.
Of your fantasy walks you to the door, but she holds a key.
All right, coming in at number 35 this week. That week, I guess you could say, on the Hot 100, Stupid Girl by Garbage.
It was their only top 40 hit. They had some different songs. That was the one that broke through, got to number 24. Remains their only top 40 hit. Perfect 90s alternative pop song.
And right above them at number 34, we got No Mercy, Where Do You Go?
It went to, since you're asking, number 5. It would wind up being a number 5 hit. You weren't asking, were you?
You got the answer involuntarily. No, was, yeah.
Yeah, great dance pop hit from the 90s. Really that 90s dance sound that you don't really hear a lot of now. Back then, that was more typical for what a dance pop was that would cross over.
All right, and ooh, Gary's holding strong with some of these 96 throwbacks for him. Okay, let's try this one out. At 33, we got Maxi Priest featuring Shaggy, the song That Girl. So Shaggy just had broken through.
95.
I want to say, right? Yeah, summer before was when Boombastic and his peak would come at the end of the decade, the beginning of the next decade, when It Wasn't Me and Angel and those songs got to number one. Maxi Priest.
He had a couple good hits before this, a few hits, but he broke through with his cover of Cat Stevens' Wild World, 1988 reggae version.
You know, those reggae covers were, that was a nice little safe niche in there from the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, you saw with, you know, kind of remake crossovers. Same thing with UB40, having the cover of Elvis Presley's Can't Help Falling in Love. Red, Red Wine was another one. I think my dad in particular liked that song a lot. So definitely a good era for them.
Yeah, and he had also, 1991, he had a cover of Set the Night to Music with Roberta Flack. So he had a few hits in the early and mid-90s. Two reggae stars really together on this song.
All right, moving on to number 32 that week. We've got a song from the soundtrack to The Nutty Professor. If that doesn't put you in a 90s mood, nothing else will. Eddie Murphy making that big leap. But this song is by Case featuring Foxy Brown. Touch Me, Tease Me, 32.
That's one of Eddie Murphy's bigger movies, right? Nutty Professor?
Yeah, I mean, it was at least successful enough to spawn a sequel. And, you know, the sequel also had was Janet Jackson was in it. And that's where Doesn't Really Matter came from, which was a number one hit for her later in 2000. Yeah, I mean, of course, Eddie Murphy, not the same kind of as his 80s, you know, Beverly Hills Cop kind of SNL days, but still a huge force.
It went a little more family friendly.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually, and it's kind of weird to think, like, when you put this together. I mean, this is only about, what, 4 or 5 years from Shrek, when he's doing Donkey and all those kind of things.
Right.
So it's not, it's definitely, yeah, a little more from that, a little less in the kind of, you know, the raw, in the raw version of Eddie Murphy in the 1980s. But yeah, shout out to Case and Foxy Brown for getting that top 20 hit there. And above them, we got Natalie Merchant, number 31 on that week's Hot 100 with the song Jealousy.
Our first Lilith Fair sighting here in the top 40.
You knew it was coming at some point.
10,000 Maniacs, she'd been the lead singer. They never had a top 40 hit until Because of the Night, their cover of the Patti Smith song written by Bruce Springsteen. Got to number 11 in 1993, but such a great catalog they have. And then Natalie Merchant went solo, had three top 40 hits, Carnival Wonder, which is just outside the top 40 after hitting number 20. And then Jealousy was moving up this week on its way to number 23. Another great song from Natalie Merchant.
And if Natalie Merchant and 10,000 Maniacs isn't enough to get you back in the mood of 96, here's what else was happening in World Affairs to put in some context for you.
Well, July 4th, 1996, Hotmail debuted. Remember Hotmail?
Everyone's first email address was probably a Hotmail one.
That was July 4th. July 6th and 7th, Wimbledon, men's and women's tennis. Do you know who won those 2 years? You're the tennis guy.
Oh, gosh. 96? Okay. Well, Steffi Graf won the women's.
Who won the men's?
Okay, 96. It was not Pete Sampras, because that was like one of the only years that he lost. Was that a Cedric Pioline?
No.
96 Wimbledon title. 96? This was the worst year to pick, Gary.
Apparently.
All right, we don't know. We had to Google. We don't know who won this title. We had to Google it.
All right, Google tells us the winner. We can't really. We don't know how to correct.
Krajicek?
Yeah.
Right, well, Justin, our intern, you seem to be an expert in this. How would you pronounce his name?
Krajicek.
His first name is Richard.
Right.
We got the Richard part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Richard, you know, we know Richard.
July 21st, 1996, The Daily Show premiered, hosted then by Craig Kilborn.
Ah, yes. And of course, it'll always be synonymous with Jon Stewart, who really took it to a new level when he came through.
All right. Number 30. Let's move on. The Billboard Hot 100 this week, 1996. Your favorite song of the five we just heard?
No.
All right. Interesting about these five we just heard, there's a couple boy bands who had hits that were not their biggest hits, more obscure, at number 30 and 26. So number 30, All for One, we heard Someday, not I Swear, not I Can Love You Like That. But after that, number 30 hit. It was at its peak. Someday from The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah. Again, like we kind of mentioned in the 97 episode, we saw, I think, a couple more singles that identify this trend. But for those who weren't there for that, you know, the 90s were a heyday, obviously, for Disney and for a lot of the children's films and the so-called Disney Renaissance, from The Little Mermaid up through Tarzan in 99. And, you know, for basically all those major songs, they always had somebody do the pop version of them. And, you know, a lot of these turned into, you know, top 10 hits on the Hot 100. I mean, we saw everything from Beauty and the Beast way back at the beginning of the decade through A Whole New World, Colors of the Wind. They all get remade and turned into these top 10s. Unfortunately, All for One, not quite able to get there, but top 40, you know, hey, still.
You said hey. You said it was a heyday. It was also a heyday for Crucial Conflict.
It was a hey week.
It's a farming song. Number 28, Montel Jordan, featuring Slick Rick. I Like, another Nutty Professor song, second one we've gotten to.
The Nutty Professor, again, I mean, a lot, you know, that was a pretty big soundtrack there. Montel, obviously, the year before had his longest lasting hit that everyone knows, This Is How We Do It. And good to see Slick Rick also there, you know, somebody who kind of more of the early days of rap before became a huge commercial seller like it would in the late 80s, very late 80s, but really the 90s. So glad to see Slick Rick getting some love on a top 40 hit as well.
Number 27, one of my absolute favorite bands of all time, Gin Blossoms, with a two-sided hit. It was Follow You Down and Till I Hear It From You. It's their only top 10. It had gotten to number 9, had a really long ride in the top 40, so still hanging on at number 27. Saw them in concert recently. I've seen them a bunch of times. They still sound great. You know, a lot of their songs have a very similar sound, but they all have different great hooks. But they've joked about that. They retweet a lot of what fans write. And I remember someone saying once, all your songs sound alike, but they're great. We love them anyway. And they retweeted it. They sort of thought it was funny. Great sound. They just always change the hooks. And I just love their catalog.
Yeah. And that's one of the critiques, I guess, that really survives any artist, but bands in particular. And I guess especially in this sort of, you know, process pop era, people make that joke. I mean, the Chainsmokers, probably more than anybody right now, are the recipients of that
Why does something just like this sound just like Closer, but you just change maybe a little bit of the structure, throw Chris Martin on instead of Halsey, and you got a fresh new hit. You know, hey, sometimes, you know, if you find something that works.
Yeah, but Gin Blossoms, too, there's a lot of harder alternative in the 90s. So they were always one of the poppier bands, but really a pop band that had real jangly sounds. So they always stood out to me. That's why I like them, because they were a little more pop than some of the other alternative at the time. Number 26, Color Me Bad. It's sort of like All for One. They'd had bigger hits before then, but we're still in the top 40 with The Earth, The Sun, The Rain as their ninth final top 40 hit. So Color Me Bad, not I Adore Me More, a different song.
Yeah, and also one of the times, you know, I guess no one really could have known this at the time, but when you look at this, this is really the era where that boy band kind of, you know, quartet is starting to hit the sunset. I mean, even Boyz II Men, who, you know, would be, I think, in most people's mind, the biggest act of that era in that mold, would have number one the following year. It would be kind of the end of the road for a lot of those R&B stars, as a lot of that teen pop, Spice Girls, you know, invasion took over in the next coming years. So,
you know, you just said end of the road. You're talking about vocal groups.
Did I say end of the road?
Yeah.
See, it's that instant. Boyz II Men is that's that baby face. Baby face is so he just finds his way in.
All right, let's keep going. Number 25 this week, 1996.
And coming in at number 25 on the August 3rd, 1996 Hot 100, we got Children, Robert Miles, who recently passed away here, actually.
Yeah, in May, only 47. What an interesting song, a low-key dance instrumental. That would really work nowadays with how dance is much more low-key like that than it really was back in the 90s. So that song stood out at the time for being an instrumental, for its tempo. Really stands today as just a great 90s hit. And with him passing away, we've got a great song to remember him by.
Yeah. And right above him at number 24, Alanis Morissette with Ironic. The song had hit number 4. So at this point, kind of working its way back down the chart. And we'll actually hear a little more from Alanis later coming up in the podcast. But Ironic, of course, one of the bigger songs off Jagged Little Pill. I think certainly one of the ones that has lasted. Gary, is it really ironic, all the things she talks about?
But you know what? Alanis never actually says it is ironic. She's asking, is it ironic? So she never actually came out and said it was.
Fair. Right? Maybe she doesn't think it is. Maybe that's ironic in itself. Like, you would think that somebody would ask something that's ironic in a song called Ironic when nothing actually ends up being ironic.
We still don't know.
No one knows what's going on. Though I remember she did do that kind of update of that modern update of the lyrics with James Corden a little while back.
Do you remember some of the things that were now, 21 years later, ironic or not?
Like, I remember, like, there's one about being like first class on like a Southwest plane, but like Southwest is just like boards everybody on the same spot. So like, if you pay for that, like, I always thought about that because they always offer that upgrade and that kind of first class, and it's like we're all going to be in the same quality seat.
Still her highest charting Hot 100 hit, though, got to number 4. So Great song.
All right, number 23, we got Sweet Dreams, not the Eurythmics song, even though that would have been cool if it had made a comeback a decade after it had been recorded. But this one is Sweet Dreams by La Bouche.
Yeah, another one of those up-tempo dance songs that's so mid-90s feeling, like we heard No Mercy, Where Do You Go, back at number 34. Same kind of song. A lot of great dance pop that broke through.
The greatest gainer for that week on radio, Dishwalla's Counting Blue Cars. It calls God a woman, doesn't it? That was like one of the big, like...
Really like to meet her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, One of Us, Joan Osborne, similar times. So, you know, that brooding, serious mid-90s pop alternative got pretty deep.
But also got that feminist fair there that, you know, who right. says God can't be a woman?
Right.
All right, climbing up, we're almost halfway there. So what's going to wrap the first half of this countdown is going to be very 90s. The Tony Rich Project, Nobody Knows, number 21 that week. Was actually a number 2 hit. Unfortunately, couldn't quite get all the way to the top of the chart. Sliding back down at this point.
And now the song did get to number 1 cover. Kevin Sharp did a country version, got to number 1 for 4 weeks in early 1997. So the song was a number 1 hit on country.
There's that country R&B hybrid that we've seen a lot in that era.
Before we get into the top 20, Trevor, look at a little bit more what was going on in the world. August 1996, George R.R. Martin publishes A Game of Thrones, the first in his series, A Song of Ice and Fire.
Woo! I mean, if that's a long-haul return on investment, worth it, because that man must be living in Malibu mansions and castles and layers, all that to this day.
Feels like I could see him living in a castle, right?
In a way, I mean, he's very, yeah, he likes that, you know, fantastical stuff.
August 21st, 1996, we mentioned earlier Hotmail debuted. August 21st, we got Netscape Browser 3.0.
Netscape. I remember Netscape because that was like the one. There was like Netscape Navigator and Netscape Communicator that like the commons used. And back then, I think Internet Explorer was actually kind of like the bougie browser. So funny how times change.
All right, let's move on. Top 20. We're up to number 20 this week. 21 years ago, the Billboard Hot 100, 1996. Through 16, the Billboard Hot 100 this week, 21 years ago. Number 20, we heard Monica, Why I Love You So Much, A-side and B-side with Ain't Nobody. So it had gotten to the top 10. Monica, really in the midst of all her hits in the 90s and still a couple years away at this point from The Boy's Mine with Brandy.
Yeah, obviously, like I said, Monica's breakthrough season really started the year before with Don't Take It Personal and Before You Walk Out of My Life. I mean, this is just another top 10 keeping the streak going. I mean, and kind of like Leanne Rimes, like we mentioned at the top of the podcast, you know, young,
young budding singers out there who's taking the torch to a new generation.
Number 19, Bittersweet, 112, featuring Notorious B.I.G., Only You.
Yeah, and yeah, 112. I mean, that whole label in-house collaboration with the Bad Boy team. And of course, I mean, who could have predicted that a year from now, I guess in a sort of much more somber sense, 112 would be holding at number one as part of the tribute song to Biggie. So, I mean, we're talking about the last, you know, 6-8 months that we have Notorious B.I.G. with us. You know, crazy.
Number 18 on the Hot 100, former number one for Bone Thugs and Harmony, The Crossroads.
And again, another sad one. It's like we said with Biggie. I mean, The Crossroads is really, in a lot of ways, Bone Thugs' tribute to Eazy-E, who, you know, was their mentor and sort of, you know, got them going. He had passed away from some complications of AIDS a few years back. Again, it's always, you know, it's always kind of bittersweet, especially, I'm sure, to get such a huge, successful song off of an event like this. So, you know, of course, great for Bone Thugs and Harmony to be up there, number one, you know, 8 weeks. But in the way the song had to come about, you know, always sad.
All right, number 17, my second favorite Mariah Carey song of all time, former number one at this point, Always Be My Baby.
And second only to?
All I Want for Christmas Is You. So it's sort of my favorite non-holiday regular song by Mariah. The intro still sounds so good nowadays, that long acoustic intro, how it builds. And Jermaine Dupri, who co-wrote it, co-produced it, he was here a few months ago at Billboard. We kind of stalked him after he did a Facebook Live interview.
Thanks for putting that one out there, Gary.
I wanted to ask him all about how that song came about, because it was more poppy than anything he'd ever done. And that's kind of what he said. Absolutely. He totally agreed with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think at that point, especially most people knew Jermaine from Jump by Criss Cross a few years earlier that he had written and produced and kind of broke out there. And he said, yeah, a lot of people, he said in a way, I think maybe it could be one of his favorite number one hits, because like you said, people did not think he had that kind of R&B, that little pop softer side to him. And I mean, it's just, I mean, it literally was just really him and Mariah producing it. And I mean, a third co-writer there as well, but it wasn't like there was a, you know, a huge team of people and Jermaine just did a little bit. I mean, he really had to go to work. And this is a partnership that worked out really well for him. I mean, they've collaborated many more times since then. I think most people will know that We Belong Together, another Carey Dupri collaboration that was right. A monster hit. So this is the beginning of a nice little pair.
And you talk about how big the Daydream album for Mariah was, 95, 96. This was the third single from the album. Fantasy was first, 8 weeks at number one. One Sweet Day set the record. Still going to say it as long as it's true. Despacito hasn't broken it yet.
There you go.
16 weeks, number one for One Sweet Day. And then third single, Always Be My Baby, third number one from the album.
And zero Grammys to go with it. Crazy.
You have to bring that up.
the lambs got to be kept in check at some point. Yeah, here we go. My RIP, my mentions. I love Mariah just as much as everybody else does. I think it is cruel that she got shut out 0-6. That's messed up.
That's better. Number 16, another Lilifer type artist, and another Canadian female singer-songwriter, Jan Arden. Insensitive. It was a big hit. I've heard all the Alanis. Avril Lavigne was on her way a few years later. Sarah McLachlan was starting to break through. So the era for Canadian female singer-songwriters. Also, the song was from the movie Bed of Roses. Do you remember that movie?
No.
It's a Christian Slater, Mary Stuart Masterson. Well, it's a, you look at, on the chart here and we see you know, I Like by Montel Jordan from Nutty Professor. You pretty much immediately remember Nutty Professor. Then you see a movie like Bed of Roses. You kind of have to maybe Google what Bed of Roses is, like I just did, to find out who was in it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, these recapping some of the movies that we've seen just on this chart alone. I mean, Mission Impossible down there, everyone knows that. You know, Tom Cruise, Nutty Professor, like you said, Hunchback of Notre Dame, everyone knows that. Yeah, that's the one. That's the question mark one.
I think we have another example actually right here of a much bigger song than the movie, at least 21 years later. Celine Dion, number 15.
For all those times you stood by me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrong that you made right, forever. I wanna kiss you. Thank you.
So I guess if you are a major lamb like Gary, you maybe you hate this song. If you aren't a lamb, maybe you like this song. This was the one that took Mariah and the boys out of number one.
Well, I'm a big Diane Warren fan. She wrote the song, so I'll look for the positive.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Diane Warren, David Foster, Diane Warren written, David Foster produced. So that definitely is a hallmark team of the 90s there. The song Because You Love Me from the film Up Close and Personal. I think again, most people, if you were around for like the 90s rom-com kind of boom, you may remember the song. If not, it's not necessarily one of the ones that has stood the test of time, like a You've Got Mail or something that, Julia Roberts kind of comedy or something like that. But Celine Dion getting the number one hit out of it, 6 weeks at number one. So it's actually, of all the songs, all Celine's four number one hits, that one is tied with I'm Your Angel for her longest run at number one.
And really okay with that. Breaking the run at number one for One Sweet Day. It's a great song.
I mean, to be totally fair, One Sweet Day fell to number five, so it wasn't like, I'm just, you gotta throw it out there. Gotta throw it out there. But yeah, this also kicking off what will become a big year for Celine as well. Her Falling Into You album coming out in 96 will eventually win her the Album of the Year Grammy, and that has other, Celine classics, All By Myself, It's All Coming Back to Me Now. So really, the Celine ballad was strong in 96. All right, moving on to number 14. We've got Total up there at number 14 with Kissing You. The song peaked at number 12, backtracking a little bit. Rafael Sadiq producing.
Yeah.
I like that there.
Co-writing as well.
And yeah, also a co-writer on the track.
Again, part of the Bad Boy Arista team back then. We heard 112 back at number 19. Big error.
Yeah, I mean, and this is really solidifying their dominance. 97, in particular, when Puff Daddy comes out with his own album, going to really... move the needle there. But again, Total doing nice and strong. Moving up one spot to number 13, we've got I know this is one of Gary's favorites from this era. Climbing up the chart, making a nice jump actually this week, 10 spots from 23 to 13. We have Donna Lewis, I Love You Always Forever, which I always mix up with I Will Always Love You. The eternal love is strong there.
It would go on to number two for 9 weeks. It would get stuck behind a huge number one hit we'll get to, but it's actually the second most weeks peaking at number two for a song that didn't go to number one. You're Still the One, Shania Twain, would tie that a couple years later. Two songs have the record for most weeks at number two, peaking at number two, 10 weeks each, Missy Elliott, Work It, and Foreigner, Waiting for a Girl Like You. I Love You Always Forever, also number one airplay hit. It was huge. It was just blocked on the Hot 100. I always think it would be funny, and years later, how much she sounds like Ellie Goulding. It would be funny to hear a duet between the two of them, because I'm not sure you'd be able to tell their voices apart.
Ooh. All right, and coming up above Donna Lewis, number 12 that week on the Hot 100, we got one of the first sightings we're going to see an Outkast on this chart, Elevators, Me and You. So they're running 96. Atlanta duo obviously going on to even bigger and better things at the turn of the next decade or next century, even 2001. They're going to be number one with Miss Jackson. And then, of course, they're going to blow up really in 2003. The Speaker Box, Love Below, sort of dual album. I was going to say duets album, but it's not a duets album. It's a dual album.
Right.
And they're going to have Hey Ya go to number one for 9 weeks. And they're going to also get The Way You Move, replace themselves at number one. And then on top of that, way to kick it all off, Speaker Box, Love Below is going to win the Album of the Year, which is one of the very few times in Grammy history you're going to see a hip-hop album take that top honor.
Yeah, it's fun. You look back at these years like this, you find acts at different points in their careers, like we heard All for One and Color Me Bad after they had big number one hits.
Yeah,
and here we got
Outkast sunset
right before.
In the sunrise, you got it. All right, and number 11, so just outside the top 10 this week, kind of again in that nice singer-songwriter mold. Of the era, we've got Jewel, Who Will Save Your Soul.
The artist who called me Tiger, and then I later found out she calls other people Tiger.
Poor Gary still will not quite get over that. I remember one of the things that Jewel was talking about when she sort of recapped one of these songs, I think on VH1 one time, was she really said her voice sounded like Kermit the Frog her singing voice. So, which in a way, like the way she put it, you're kind of like, I could.
A little vibrato.
Okay, yeah, a little.
You know what was interesting, too, at the time was there was another Jewel, the R&B Jewel with two L's. They were both on the charts at the same time. Jewel with one L was The Little Affair. Folk singer-songwriter Jewel with two L's had some R&B hits at the time.
All right, and here we are in the home stretch, the last 10, the top 10 of the Hot 100, the week of August 3rd, 96. Like we saw at number 11, we saw Jewel, and as Gary mentioned, another Jewel was running around the charts with two L's at that time. And kicking us off at number 10, another act who also is known for having two very famous L's in his names. Take a listen.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Go ahead, Daddy.
It's a Queen's thing, baby.
I wanna dance with you.
Track masters, rock on.
Maybe Tony will help.
Baby, yes, rock on.
My name is L, I'm from Queens. I heard about your man, he like the late Sugar Queen.
Michelle, Tamika, and Tanya wanna ride this train.
Numbers 10 through 6, the Billboard Hot 100 this week, 1996, 21 years ago, LL Cool J hitting the top 10, up for number 13, hit the top 10 with Loungin'. Where does Loungin' stand, Trevor, in LL Cool J's catalog? feels a little one of the deeper cuts, even though it was a top 10.
Yeah,
hit,
it's
right?
Not. I mean, certainly, I think most people probably obviously know more of the 80s stuff. And I mean, I think like Hey Lover and those kind of things have aged a little bit better.
Mama Said Knock You Out.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, that's probably... I mean, even if you don't know anything about LL Cool J, you know that phrase, and you know, of course, you know the opening. Don't call it a comeback, which is crazy how it's just transcended into pop culture. People don't even know where they're getting that from. Yeah, I mean, I would say like I'm not an LL Cool J expert by any means, but I would say it's not one of the top five. But hey, it's one of the top 10.
That's right. This week, so there 21 you go. Years ago, number 9. What a 90s, total 90s flashback. Quad City DJs, Come On Ride at the Train.
Of course, if this is one of those songs that had social media existed at the time or Instagram, this would have been one of those like Instagram challenge kind of train challenge songs or whatever. I mean, you just can't, you can't not get excited when you hear that song.
Yeah, no YouTube back then. All we had, as we said, was Hotmail and Netscape. It didn't wasn't
that's,
good for memes.
That's all it took. Yeah. And could you imagine trying to load a video on like that bandwidth? Be waiting all day.
Number eight, down from number six, its peak. You Learn, Alanis Morissette. B-side was You Oughta Know. So that got the song on the chart that way. Number eight on the Hot 100, but it was number one on radio songs this week in the middle of its five-week run at number one at radio. So it's the biggest airplay hit at the time. Alanis just completely in her big run of hits. Jagged Little Pill was just really the biggest thing at the time.
Do you remember, I guess you're a radio guy, so I remember, you know, here's hearsay about this. You Oughta Know. And I remember a lot of people like sort of looking back and saying, you know, for a woman to say fuck on the radio and like in a song and night, that was a pretty like big moment. I mean, of course, they bleeped it, you know, but
not for family.
You can tell what the message is there.
Not for family radio.
Yeah.
But yeah, a huge hit for Alanis. Number seven, Twisted, Keith Sweat. He'd had hits in the 80s. He was still going strong in the top 10, 1996.
Yeah. And this is before, you know, he's still got some years in his career, too. I know Nobody in 99 will be a huge R&B smash. So again, one of those consistent kind of hit makers out there who just took that R&B lane and opening in the 90s and just rode it to success.
Yeah, he was kind of a veteran then. I mean, I really started listening to radio in 1988. I remember I Want Her was a big hit back then. So he'd been around by 96.
Yeah.
Number six on the Hot 100 this week, 21 years ago. Guy who is having really, you tend to think of 70s for his biggest time in music, but he had this really big run of hits in the 90s, Eric Clapton with Change the World. So Tears in Heaven, sadly, the story behind that, his son, became a hit in 1992. And then he just suddenly became this huge adult contemporary and pop artist with other hits. Change the World was big. My Father's Eyes. He just, you know, from being the guitar legend that he was, he started having these AC ballads. So a whole other side of his career.
And again, we're seeing it from the movie Phenomenon, right, starring John Travolta. Again, one of those kind of, you know, you look back at it and you're like, okay, this existed.
Kind of parallels there, Clapton and Travolta in the 70s. And then
yeah,
you know, the two of them in the 90s, totally different yeah. vibes for both of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess like you said, with Eric having the revival, especially with the Unplugged session that he did, Travolta just a few years off of Pulp Fiction, kind of still getting his exposure to a new audience. So you're right, it teams up a little bit. And somebody who is no stranger to having success in the 90s at this point, the song's producer, Babyface. So obviously in the middle of, you know, an enormous period for him, having written songs for, I mean, at this point, really, it's you name it. He's written for them. Toni Braxton he's written with.
Madonna, Take a Bow.
Madonna, yeah. Right. Whitney Houston has collaborated with him several times as well. So Boyz II Men, End of the Road, a lot of their big hits, I'll Make Love to You. So again, this is just another top 10 in Babyface's wheelhouse. And also Babyface getting recognized for his efforts this year. At the end of the year, he'll be Grammy's Producer of the Year. His first of three in a row. And Change the World is going to win Record of the Year and Song of the Year. So this is the Grammy fave of 96.
Top five now this week. We're up to...
Now, if you want to know that this is a weekly recorded podcast, this is the perfect moment to really let everybody know, because we talked about R. Kelly on the 97 podcast. I Believe I Can Fly was, you know, from Space Jam, the huge hit. kind of trickling down at that point, but it was still in the top 40. Now we're talking about R. Kelly, number five this week with I Can't Sleep, Baby, If I. And I mean, what are you, how can you, how are we talking about R. Kelly on this podcast right now? Like, this is, I mean, R. Kelly's name has been, I mean, without even getting into that, it's just weird to see him on the chart and be like, ah, yes, this man has to be discussed in some capacity this week. He was number five, you know, and I mean, I guess current drama aside.
Sometimes you go back in music and you find great hits by artists who years later they wind up doing some things that really hurt their reputation or other people get affected. It's always kind of a weird thing. Sometimes their music gets banned. Certain songs you're just too associated with the artist. I guess maybe R. Kelly is sort of in that discussion at this point.
I mean, it's weird because... I mean, it's not like there's been a particular song, I guess, that has made people uncomfortable or anything like that, but it's just the person and the personality. And, I mean, look, there's all kinds of, you know, you'll hear every take on the internet if you look for it. There are people who are saying you can separate the man from his music. There are people who say you shouldn't support that at all because, you know, ultimately he gets paid off, you know, his streams and his sales and all that.
Or it's both at the same time. Sometimes you're hearing a song and you're enjoying it at the same time in the back of your head. All you can think about is what they've done. You get that weird mix at the same time.
And of course, these are still, you know, I guess they're somewhat allegations. You know, I guess they're still allegations. Kelly is not, you know, confirmed anything like that. I guess we can say, you know, safely removed from context, look, you can't argue that R. Kelly was in the run. You know, and one of those great runs again. I mean, 90s R&B was really... especially in terms of solo men, really, R. Kelly set the pace for a lot of those records. The 12-play album in 94, you got Bump and Grind and all. As we know as well, he's not just a singer, performer, he's a songwriter for himself and for plenty of other people. He'd written hits for Michael Jackson at this point, had really masterminded Aaliyah's debut album. So he's definitely, you know, an in-demand force, an in-demand producer, and he's a talented guy. No one's going to take that away from him. All right, I'll move on to number four this week. A nice little renaissance story here as well. We got Tracy Chapman, Give Me One Reason. So the song had been peaking at number three, and it's down this week to number four on this Hot 100. But again, you know, this is about 8 years since Fast Car had become that breakthrough top 10 hit and won her a few Grammy Awards and got her, obviously, the worldwide recognition. Had not been in the top 10 between Fast Car and this song.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lengthy gap there of 8 years, still putting out some music and things, but this is just one of the great, great songs of her career.
I feel like she was almost, I say this as a huge Tracy Chapman fan, I feel like she was almost a one-hit wonder twice, because both songs she had were really unlikely hits. In 1988, music is so produced, she comes out with Fast Car. 1996, we're in the middle of alternative and hip-hop and rap, and we get this bluesy song. And I guess it stood out. It's a good song. It's a simple kind of a blues song. Those, you don't get a lot of that in pop music. So it just sort of connected, again, the Lilith Fair era. So kind of all lined up and became an even bigger hit than Fast Car. Give Me One Reason. Got to number three.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it goes to show again, I think that it's kind of that old cliche that, you know, a good song will find its way. But, I mean, it's true. I mean, there's not a person, I think, who can really argue with either Fast Car or Give Me One Reason as just two purely, simply great songs. All right, moving up to number three this week on the Hot 100. Again, like we saw with Biggie down there, another one of these stories that you, at the time, no one would have predicted this, I think, at all. But number three that week is Tupac, How Do You Want It, and California Love. How Do You Want It featuring Casey and JoJo of Jodeci. California Love featuring Dr. Dre and Roger Troutman. But, you know, the crazy thing about this really is that this is August 96. So, I mean, we're just over a month from when Tupac is going to be shot and killed in Las Vegas, which is just kind of, you know, I mean, just crazy to see somebody, especially in the prime of his career. This is his first number one hit on the Hot 100. He had just gotten out of jail not too long ago. That was kind of really part of the deal to sign with Death Row and release the All Eyes on Me album. Still one of the great albums in hip hop. And it's just like, whoa, you know, like, I'm sure if you would have told somebody in 96, you know, hey, this Tupac will be gone in a month. Right. That would be like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this guy just got out. He's on top of the world. He's doing everything, all these big things, you know, just...
If there's anything musically that at least afterwards, there'd be so much more music in the vault that would still be coming out for a long time after.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of nice that, you know, I mean, his family and his mother in particular have been so active in those efforts to get a lot of those things out there. Because, you know, some, I mean, you don't have to. And maybe sometimes, especially, you just don't want to. I mean, maybe as a mom, you think that music was what sort of, you know, led to all this and all these record labels and all these deals about money and this and that. But, you know, it's just nice that she knew that her son at his core was an artist. He wanted to do this. He'd always been, you know, very passionate about that. And to share the rest of his legacy with the world is great. All right, and we'll keep on climbing to number two. We just saw Babyface in the top 10, number six. How about seeing him again at number two as the songwriter on another dual-sided single, Toni Braxton, You're Making Me High and Let It Flow. So Toni Braxton coming off a huge debut album back in 93, 94. This is the first song off her second album. Something people hadn't really seen in Toni before. She was a little more of the down-tempo, mid-tempo balladeer on the first album.
Right.
A couple album cuts that were some more upbeat, but most of the singles are pretty showcasey. This song in particular, way different. I mean, this song's basically just about getting high, having sex, a way more, you know, like sort of vixen kind of Toni that we hadn't seen before. But Let It Flow from the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack,
right,
which also in this time doing huge numbers, came out in late 95, an all-star collaboration, really one of the first we've seen of all black female artists on this. We got, I mean, Whitney starring in the movie, and she helped, you know, executive produce the soundtrack, but you've got Brandy on it, you've got Aretha Franklin on there, you got Chaka Khan, you've got CeCe Winans, you've got TLC.
And who, of course, is the guy?
And again, all that, again, masterminded, written, produced by Babyface.
Right.
So, I mean, this is probably the hardest working guy in music at this point. And his rewards, you know, are getting these chart numbers, getting the success, getting that money. So, yeah, shout out to Toni Braxton, who gets her first number one this year. She'll follow that up pretty quickly with another number one before the year's over with another Diane Warren penned ballad, Unbreak My Heart. Of course, everyone still knows that song. 11 weeks at number one. So Toni's doing very well, avoiding that sophomore jinx and that Best New Artist Grammy curse.
And this song snuck in 1 week at number one, and good thing that it did, because the next week, the number one song this week, 1996, it took over for 14 weeks. We've been talking about it a lot lately because of what's number one now, Despacito by Luis Fonsi, Daddy Yankee featuring Justin Bieber. It's been number one now for 12 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100. Back then, 1996, this song was beginning its run of 14 weeks at number one. Again, it could be passed very soon by Despacito as the longest leading non-predominantly English song on the Hot 100. And this song was just absolutely everywhere. I know you were really young at the time, Trevor, but this was just all over pop culture. 1996.
Now, this is something that you don't have to, like, tell me about.
Even at five years old?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like in gym class and those kind of things and, you know, on the radio. I mean, just kind of everywhere. It was an easy song. I mean, again, one of the nice things about Macarena was that, you know, anybody could do it. I mean, young people, old people, if you had all the rhythm, if you had no rhythm, it was just something that was pretty simplified, repetitive. So it didn't take much talent to do it. And I think that's why it spread, you know, far and wide.
I was able to do it.
Even Gary could Macarena, y'all.
That's easy to do.
That's how idiot-proof it was.
So the song got to number one, 33 weeks, idiot-proof.
33 weeks.
33 weeks, number one, still a record because it started, wound up not being a big hit the first time in 1995. Then it got picked up and the whole remix kicked in. That's what we're going to talk about with our guest this week as we hear our number one looking back. It was the Bayside Boys mix, the remix of Macarena by Los Del Rio that went to number one. So it was the remix that kicked it all the way to number one. We found one of the Bayside Boys, Trevor.
Yes, we did. Jammin' Johnny, who was a DJ at Power 96 at the time, and you can actually still hear him on the radio in the Miami area today, was one of the key figures in helping turn this song from this international hit that people in Spanish-speaking countries knew. It kind of came through the U.S. music scene in Miami where he was working, and he was really one of the key people responsible for turning it into this huge English language phenomenon that we obviously still know and remember today. And not only that, we also talked to Johnny about Despacito, still, of course, number one on the Hot 100, and his thoughts on the current landscape of some Latin pop music and who he thinks might be some of the big acts and songs who could break through next. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. Here is Jammin' Johnny on the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast.
All right.
Jam and Johnny, thank you so much for joining us in the Billboard Sharpie podcast.
Hey, well, glad to be here. It was a pleasure to be participating with this.
So we're going back 21 years, 1996, Macarena. How does that hit you when we say it's 21 years
ago? Has that been that long, huh? It seems like yesterday. I just feel honored that 21 years later, we're still talking about a gimmick song that we brought out of a nightclub one night and took it to the radio, remixed it, and made it what it is today. Because basically, that's how that song came about in life. It was amazing how that song came about when we, I was DJing in a club, and it was a Hispanic club, and they people were asking me, hey, do you happen to know about this song? And I'm like, I haven't heard it. It's not on the top 20 of Hispanic radio charts here. Let me go through my record pool bin. You know how you get 1,001 records in your record pool, and you don't check them all. You just pull out the ones you recognize. And sure enough, that week I checked them, and there was a CD was in there. And I said, I'm going to take the CD. I'm going to take it with me to the club and see what happens. And the following Sunday, when I went to go spin at the club, I said, let me play this record and see what happens. I played it at an off moment, not at the peak of the night. And next thing you know, the couple hundred people that were already there at the club, they all jumped up on the dance floor and started doing the dance. And that's where I just said, wait a second, what the heck is going on here? And sure enough, I then took it to my program director at that time. And we were doing a broadcast, ironically, together on Power 96, where we broke the record. And we basically went to the broadcast, and I said, listen, I got this really cool record that you're going to see how everybody gets up and dances, but it's in Spanish. I said, broadcast was already at 1 o'clock in the morning, so it really didn't matter as far as ratings were concerned. And he goes, go ahead, play it, let's see what happens. Sure enough, dance floor just flipped, and everybody started doing the dance. And that's when, the following day I had to go to the station, and the program director tells the program director supervisor, hey, listen, Johnny has this really cool record that everybody seems to be dancing. And then my boss heard it, Funky Frank Walsh, he heard it, and he said, hey, you got 3 days to remix it and make it somewhat in English, because, we're an English station, we can't play the whole song in Spanish. I said, okay, no problem. So that was the project. For 3 days, my then partner, Mike in the Night, rest in peace. He passed away a few years ago. Carlos Diarza, which was our studio assistant for our label called Bayside Records. We went in there for 3 days and we started playing around. So, well, what are we going to do? So, Hispanics already know what the song is, but we got to tell the American people what the song is about. So why don't we just bring in a girl and let her be the part of Macarena in English.
When I dance, they call me Macarena, and the boys, they say que soy buena. They all want me, they can't have me, so they all come and dance beside.
And sure enough, we sat there, wrote the lyrics, hooky as it seems. We kept the old men singing the hooks. And we just brought her in and we recorded. Next thing you know, on Monday, I showed up at the station. I go, here you go, boss. It's done. The minute we played that record, they must have gotten about 200 requests on the phones right away. Play it again. Play it again. Play it again. Oh, my God. Play it again. The station, took over. They started playing the song literally every half an hour because it was just too much of the demand. And from that moment on, we then started back then making copies of CDs because there was no such thing as digital. There was no, the kind of spreading the YouTube and all that stuff that you can do now that people can just pull the stuff. So basically, in a nutshell, that's how that came about. We were getting calls from every radio station pretty much in the country. Hey, can you send us a copy of it? Send us a copy of it. Send us a copy. And we must have, made about 300 copies of it on CDs and just started sending them out Federal Express to everybody in the country. And I guess the rest is history until BMG stepped in and they formally told us, hey, listen, we'd like to, be a part of this with you guys. It is our song. So, you know, can you guys, let's work together and, you know, all the way up through the presidential campaigns, they were doing the Macarenas. I think I have a picture somewhere where I saw Reverend Jesse Jackson doing it. So it was just amazing, and the ride was crazy. For as long as you guys have mentioned that, everybody knows that it broke records in the history of music. So we're pretty proud of that. Now that Despacito's here, it kind of woke up everything again, and all of our memories are kicking in again with the Macarena and the success that Despacito's having.
Yeah, does it remind you in some ways, and sort of similar in that it was a remix again that made Despacito such a huge hit once Justin Bieber connected. Do you think it always takes some type of remix to make a great Spanish language song a hit with pop audiences, or you know, are we getting towards the point where maybe we don't even need that?
I personally think the song was already a smash prior to Justin Bieber getting on it. The song already was getting good traction on all Hispanic radio levels. It was a full power record. The Justin Bieber part just made that crossover possible in letting the Anglos know, hey, this song is really catchy, you know, let's do it. You know, it's like if we, you know, it was just another Macarena moment. And that's what I saw happen. And Justin Bieber jumping on it really obviously took it to the next level, and it's a proud moment for Hispanics to be recognized as an elite force in music, because we do have a lot of great talent that sometimes doesn't get that national perspective because of, you know, there's other things that are, you know, the urban markets are very popular, the Drakes and, you know, all that stuff. But we also have J-Lo, we also have Mark Anthony, and we also have guys like Daddy Yankee that are been in legends in this business, and they are very strong. And I think, you know, it's a great moment where we unite and we enjoy music together, Hispanics and Americans, or if you don't listen to Spanish music, I mean, we united. But as far as music is concerned right now, as far as the national perspective in the United States here and in all over the world, I think it's great to see two great versions of the song. And you know we hear and even in Spanish radio we flip-flop. We'll play one version the basic and one version the Justin Bieber, especially when you're in the clubs. The mixers love the Justin Bieber version, you know, just to give it that little Anglo effect. So I think it's a great opportunity for everybody.
Just taking us back again to Macarena, Johnny, did you think, you said you were in the studio for 3 days. You just had to crank out this version. Did you feel like you created something that was going to be that big, or how much did it really surprise you just absolutely how big the song wound up becoming and still is in pop culture nowadays?
Well, the funny part about this story is that as producers, Bayside Boys, we wanted to just break into radio. We wanted to find a way to break in and into a, you know, into radio and try to get our music out there and try to get our names out there as far as producers is concerned. So when we went into the studio, we only went in just to do something for the radio station, for the relationship that we had with the radio station, so that, hey, you know what, Bayside Boys, Jammin' Johnny and Mike and the Night and Carlos Yarza, you know, here's their version of it and that. You know, we didn't, that's what we were looking for, just a more local laugh, if you want it. It was like a joke, but the joke became reality and it became serious, and it became something that honestly I never would have thought we would have gotten to what we are. And even today I sit back and I look at all the Google that you can do on the song, and you know, it's great to see your name all over the place, and you sit back and say, you know what, man, I can die tomorrow and my name will live. You know, my name will always be there, because somebody 100 years from now is going to look it up and say, what's happened with this Macarena? And then that's where they'll see our names. They're like, we made history. And that's where, you know, I speaking for my partner, who, like I said before, rest in peace, Mike in the Night. I know, you know, we were very proud of that moment. And we've always been very proud of representing the Hispanics in that level, because it was a moment where, like I said before, we're all together as one. And I think that's what this country needs to learn, to be together, you know, the minorities and this. And there's no such thing as minorities. We're all human beings. We all have talent. And if we all work together as one, I mean, we can crank out some serious music. That's all I can say.
Do you remember when the song actually went to number one on the Hot 100? Were you watching the charts? Did that mean a lot to you at the time?
Back then, it was not as digital as it is now. I think now you can track a record by the second. You can just look on the computer and say, oh, look, the song is spinning here, it's spinning there. Back then, it wasn't as sophisticated, so it took a while. But it really hit me when the station itself, Power 96, acknowledged my efforts, and they gave me the Employee of the Month, something that they had never done ever to a mixer at that time. Usually they gave the Employee of the Month to, you know, full-time people or somebody that's on the air or somebody in sales. But for the first time ever, Greg Reed gave me a mixer, just a regular power mixer, that honor. And it was because of that, because it had reached so much goals. And I'm just proud. I was proud to have been part of Power 96, WPOW, which they were the station that allowed this. And the people like Kid Curry, who is a legend in this music business, also believed in the song. And Funky Frank Walsh, which was the VP at that time. And he was the one that said, yeah, let's do it. And he was the one that put me to do it. So I have to give credit where credit is due. That station put it where it is. And honestly, it took a while for me to realize or to see those results. Now is when I see it more, because of, like I said, all the digital and all that stuff that we can see now. But I really, at that moment, I was in total loss for words. I really didn't know how much impact we were doing until we started performing out of the country. We went, they started soliciting the Los de Rios. They kept calling us and say, hey, no, we want you guys to come out and part of our tour, part of our shows. We want you guys to come out and perform with us. And next thing you know, they were performing in Italy, Spain, Germany, all across the world.
You became honorary members of the duo, pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah, they basically performed everywhere the Los de Rios were, and then they both would get up on stage between the Los de Rio and us. We would get up on stage and do the remix version. So it was just amazing. It was a very, very special moment. And like I said, I look back and I'm like, I still to this day, I sit back and say, wow, man, we did that, you know. And I'm really honored and flattered. And I got to interview Daddy Yankee, and I told him, I said, listen, I hope you guys do well, but don't break my record. And he looked at me and he goes, I go, I was the one of the third that did that, you know, that song. And he's like, wow, he was in shock. And it's just amazing how we got together and we talked about that. And look where it's at now with Despacito. It just keeps on doing well.
Yeah, we've been talking about that, how it looks like it could be getting close to the record, the 16-week, the 14 weeks of Macarena, but the 16 weeks for One Sweet Day. So it's kind of funny that the two of you were talking about that, and it could be head-to-head competition coming up pretty soon.
Definitely.
You'll be okay if it does pass it? Would you gracefully pass the baton if that does happen?
Daddy Yankee got to come back and rub it in your face?
I think that we all have to accept the fact that records are meant to be broken, and the fact that we were up there as long as we were, literally 21 years, I think it's an honor. I mean, I look at football, you know, I think of the same thing as football. You know, records are meant to be broken. And, you know, Marino, Dan Marino, to use a guy from Miami, he's had his records broken by, you know, Brady and all these people. And, you know, so records are meant to be broken. And if it's somebody that, like a Daddy Yankee and Luis Fonsi, and the whole crew that put that song together, which I happen to know them all, they're good people. So I'm honored that it was them that broke it.
He's never been Employee of the Month, though, as far as we know, right?
That was a moment, man. Hey, I got my gold pin. You had a choice between a gold pin or $200. I took the gold pin because I knew the gold pin would last forever.
You still have the pin today? You still wear it around?
I still have that gold pin in my safe, as a matter of fact. I guard it. It was very special.
And I know one thing we've kind of been mentioning about over here is also obviously Despacito bringing back the conversation about potential Spanish language crossover hits that could happen. Are there any songs, you know, Spanish songs on your radar that you're really excited about that you think could really make big moves to an English speaking audience?
As at the moment, Despacito is just clouding everything. But I'll give you there's I can tell you that there's gonna prediction. I'll give you some predictions of artists that will make a lot of noise on the Hispanic side, and maybe in the next years or so, maybe come up with a song as good as Despacito and possibly break records. Romeo Santos, guy's huge. He's one of the biggest artists that we have on our radio station here in Miami, on El Sol. He's got to probably be one of the biggest guys that's about to break. He's already recorded with guys like Drake and Usher, and I feel that down the road he's going to make a big dent. Nicky Jam is also another artist that I see in the future breaking. J Balvin. Colombian artist that I already see him. He's got a song now with Willie Williams that it's huge right now. It's called Mi Gente,
right.
And that song is gonna it's the voodoo song basically, and that song is already doing amazingly well. I see guys like Daddy Yankee teaming up with artists like a Bieber or somebody as well, and even a Prince Royce. Prince Royce also is another artist that I see doing a lot of big things in the future. There's definitely, like I said, a few artists on the radar that I, honest to God, will say will eventually do the damage at that level, like you guys say, that might team up with an Anglo artist. And we already know Shakira, Marc Anthony. These are artists that are already household names. They also can cross over any minute and blow up. Marc Anthony and J-Lo, well, there goes Jennifer Lopez. She's got a new song out now with a Hispanic duo called Gente de Zona, which also did very well with Enrique Iglesias, with Bailando. Didn't break the records like the Macarena or Despacito, but also made a lot of noise. So I see it's a matter of time where you're going to start seeing a more consistent flow of Hispanic artists and American artists teaming up to make hits. I it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, we see in particular, I know the J Balvin song has been on a lot of people's radar recently and made a big gain this past week. So definitely looks like it's about to break through, especially. And I think in particular, you know, we've seen this with just the rise of streaming in general. I mean, it's so easier than ever really to see what's going on in different parts of the world, different countries. I mean, just, you know, a simple click of the mouse. And I mean, that's kind of how Despacito, Justin Bieber's involvement kind of came along. He was in Colombia, just heard it on the radio station. But I know a lot of people had already, you know, checked out the track and knew it. And when Bieber came on, that was just like a bonus. But they were really big into that before.
Yep. I think the technology with all the abilities, the digital abilities, the Spotify's, the YouTube's, and you name it. All the opportunities that people can go get music on demand, I think that's just making everything blow up easier now. And as long as you have that, it's competitive. It's more competition for radio now to survive. We just have to make sure we're playing the best records, and then what we provide the listener in between songs that makes a difference from us, you know, continuing to be a force in the business as far as radio is concerned. But digital right now is like huge. It's huge. That you break a record in Colombia and you're already looking at their charts, and then you say, well, let me try that record here in Miami and see what happens, since I have a lot of Colombians that live in South Florida. And next thing you know, you make a decision like that and it works. But that's, again, because of the ability that we have in the digital to be able to look at internet. Back then when Macarena was around, I think AOL and the famous phone ringtone, that was about the thing, the most we had, and maybe MySpace. That was about it that I can think of.
Well, this is great, Johnny, to chat with you. It's always, you know, we write so much about this song. It's the number 7 Hot 100 song of all time. So, you know, it comes up in a lot of our edit, and we're always just writing Macarena parentheses Bayside Boys mix. And we kind of never think about who the Bayside Boys were. So it's kind of cool to hear the human side of that and your involvement and your place in music history with it.
I'm honored. I'm honored, and I'm flattered at the same time. And thank you guys for thinking about us, because yeah, there was three guys, and three very hardworking guys that had a recording studio, that had an opportunity to work at a really good recording studio, and homemade, by the way, because Mike's father, also rest in peace, he was an engineer for a radio station, so he had a lot, access to a lot of you know, the good stuff for a recording studio, and Mike was always the type of guy that he loved engineering, he loved music, and he loved how to put music together. And Carlos was just one of those freak of nature with talent. The kid had a lot of talent. He just was a brainiac, and writing was his thing. And he really, you know, the three of us together, you know, me being a DJ, knowing beats and knowing how, you know, what people liked and stuff like that, it was just the perfect chemistry between us three.
Yeah, and it's still, to me, such a unique song, that the production, you hear it, it still, you know, it sounds like other dance hits, but there's something about it that just sounds exactly like only Macarena. You really found something that I'm not sure any other song has totally tapped into.
That's why it's 14 weeks at number one, right?
There you go. Yeah, that's a, you know, it's a differentiate or die type of thing. We wanted to differentiate from everything else, so I think we did it well. and I'm like I said, I'm flattered and honored to be a part of that, and I'm super happy that, you know, after all these years, you know, people are still talking about it. And I thank everybody that supports the Macarena movement.
Yo, speaking of the Macarena movement, can you still do the Macarena? Are you still good at it? Still the pro?
Oh, definitely. I from time to time, I have to play it in parties. People still want to dance Macarena just like they want to dance the electric slide, which is basically why I'm even more honored, because it's part of an everyday life for people having parties and weddings and bar mitzvahs and stuff, and they still do it. Like, they do the Cupid Shuffle. You know, it's now a routine. It's a dance routine. So we're honored with that. You know, that every time that you're sitting at a wedding and the DJ pops that record, you're like, oh, God, here we go. Let's get up and do the Macarena. And everybody looks at me because they know I was part of it. So it's okay, Johnny, lead the way. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. The dance lives on forever. And again, thank you very much for obviously crafting a huge hit and giving the people something. I know kids, even I was a summer camp counselor for a little while, kids who were born after 2000, they all got up there. Yep. They all know the dance. It lives on forever.
That is amazing. That is amazing. That is something that, and I think that's about, that's what's going to, no matter how many records are broken after our song, I mean, that's going to never change, because Despacito doesn't have that dance. And that's what really, I think, if you look back, it keeps us unique and keeps us special, because not only was it a hit record on the radio, even the presidential elections that year was Macarena dancing. I remember the Democrats were doing the dance at the committee thing, at the big convention. And that was just crazy. And so that's what's going to always be special about Macarena. It has a song, and it had a dance to it. Whereas Despacito, it was a song. It blew up. Yes, it was great to have, you know, Bieber doing it and all that stuff, but it didn't have a dance.
All right, Johnny, thank you so much for coming on the Billboard Choppy podcast.
Thank you, boss.
So that's actually the original Macarena that they sampled from, which is, you know, way more, I mean, not nearly as big a beat, not nearly as big a moment. It's just a little more subdued. I mean, obviously you can still tell the same kind of vocal hook is there, but
like I said in the interview, it's that track, you hear it. Nothing else really sounds like that.
Yeah.
The remix version.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny too, because you think, I guess nowadays maybe the remix climate is way more ingrained in people's head, but for somebody to think of this little kind of folksy, kind of quiet, you know, little, you know, a nice little song, but nothing, you know, that makes you sort of overly energetic to turn it into this big dance floor anthem.
Right.
I mean, that is just, yo, that's producers right there.
So it's beginning its run, the remix version by the Bayside Boys with Los Del Rio, number one for 14 weeks. This week, 1996, number one for the first week. The original version we just heard a clip of was actually at number 53. It would go on to hit number 23.
That's how big, like, the Macarena movement was. It actually could bring back the original version onto the chart.
And there was a third version, a cover, this week, number 80 by Los Del Mar, Macarena. So it was a third version of the Macarena on the chart. three at the same time. Macarena, the Bayside Boys mix, would be 13 weeks at number one on the sales chart. Only got to number seven on radio songs, so not as big radio-wise, but a huge sales hit would be in the top 10. Into 1997, would be on the chart for 81 weeks. So people were just buying. Sort of like how we still see huge streams for Gangnam Style, even now. People were still buying Macarena for months, even after it was number one on the Hot 100.
And it was actually, again, one of those things that was such a big phenomenon. It actually inspired a Christmas version. There's a holiday version that will be coming at the end of 96, which is kind of like Macarena Christmas is what it was called. So, I mean, again, that big a single that you can have, you know, its own holiday version.
The Chipmunks did a version. The Muppets did a version. On YouTube, there are metal versions. It's been every possible version. And last year, Los Del Rio came back with a 20th anniversary version in our Latin charts, modern version.
Yeah, they paired up with Gente de Zona for that. Yeah.
So, 20 years later, still a huge part of pop culture. People will see you mention the name of the song, people still know the dance, even if they weren't old enough at the time. It's just become a part of pop culture at this point.
Yeah, it even got a little bit of a resurgence. We saw last year, 2016 Democratic Convention, because Hillary Clinton was the nominee. A lot of people were digging into internet gold mines and found back in 96 when she was she didn't do the dance herself, but was kind of spearheading and sort of clapping the delegates on while they did it. So even those little things can spark a resurgence for Macarena.
All right, so there it is, this week's Billboard Hot 100, number 40 to number one this week, 1996, 21 years ago.
Of course, Latin pop is still the word in 2017. Singing Despacito is still taking on for 13th week, and get even closer to that record. In the meantime, let's leave you with what Jam and Johnny thought could be the next big song that would cross over from the Spanish language market. This is J Balvin and Willie William. This is Mi Gente, and until next time, take care.
No le bajamos, man. Paramos, es otro palo y blanco.
¿Y dónde está mi gente?
Me fue a buscar la tete.
¿Y dónde está mi gente?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.